Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Well, identity, right? This idea of identity. Man, this is a huge topic in today's world. There's all kinds of people who are at, you know, they're trying to figure out, what is my identity? How do I find it? Who can help me, right? What is it? Why is identity even important? And if I'm looking for it, how in the world do I find my identity? And if you kind of go looking where the average person goes looking for help, which is like Google, there's tips out there, and Google AI will actually help you find your identity. And so some of the tips that are out there are things like this. To find your identity, look inside of yourself, right? Like, look into the depths of who you are. Explore your interests, right? Find out what you like, what you really enjoy, and dive deeper into those. Embrace your own uniqueness. Find out what makes you different from everybody else and double down on that. And then things like self-awareness. Know who you are and just go after that at 100%. And so those are some of the tips you'll find out there from people going, if you're searching for identity, this will help you do that. Here's the problem. If you choose the wrong identity, it will mislead you for the rest of your life. If you choose the wrong identity, it will mislead you for the rest of your life. And some of the missteps that you take will be very, very challenging to untake in the process. And one of the deeper problems is you actually cannot find lasting identity within yourself. You actually can't look inside of you and find your own identity. In fact, identity always comes from the outside. Identity always comes from the outside, and the truest lasting identity actually comes from something that is unchanging, right? It's got to come from a source that is unchanging. And even more than something, I would say this, it's someone who's unchanging. Now, if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's in the New Testament. But I also would like you to find Ezekiel chapter 36. We're going to be in both those places, 2 Corinthians 5 and then Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel is in the Old Testament around Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of that. While you're going to 2 Corinthians 5 and Ezekiel 36, I do want to welcome everybody here today. I'm so glad that you are with us. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here, and really glad you're all here. You all got your extra hour. Some of you are like, I've been up since 4:30 this morning, and so of course I was ready for the 9:09, right? And so really glad you're here. We want to welcome everybody joining us at Lighthouse Online. You stayed up too late last night, and you weren't able to make it here for the 9:09. That's okay. We're actually kicking off a brand new series. It's a short series just for the next few weeks. We are going to be talking about identity. But here's the thing, what we're not going to be doing is we're not going to be talking about the world's view of identity. We're not going after that. We're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be attacking that. We're not going to be poking fun or pushing at it or prodding at it. In fact, we're just not even going that direction at all. What we are doing is we are looking at what the Bible says about who I am in Christ, because that is of far more value to look at truth than it is to look at other things. And so that is where we're spending our time for the next 3 weeks. And so today we're going to be talking about the fact that in Christ, I'm new, right? In the coming weeks, we'll be talking about that in Christ, I'm right, right? And so we're going to be working through all of these different topics over the next few weeks of who am I in Christ? What does the Bible have to say about that? Now, if you're ready to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to be in verse 17. And actually, let's do this. This is just one verse. Let's read this out loud together, starting with therefore. Are you ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, right, they are a new creation. This is what it says. And so Paul is writing this letter to a group of believers, and he's trying to help them understand their identity in Christ. And what Paul says in this one verse is he says, when someone puts their faith in Jesus, they are now a new creation. I want to unpack that phrase, new creation, for just a moment, because when Paul says that we are a creation, what he's making a claim, and what he is saying is, as a creation, you are not self-existing. You did not bring yourself into being as a part of creation. You were created by someone else. In fact, what Paul would say, and all of Scripture would say, is that you were brought into existence by God. That's your starting point. But he also says if you're in Christ, you're actually brought again into creation by God now that you're in Christ. And the one thing that I really want you to hear is this, out of this point, is that becoming a Christian or being a Christian is not about you recreating yourself. That's not what Christianity is about. This is not about you becoming more disciplined as a person. This is not about you finding better life hacks so that you don't blow up on the people around you, right? This is not about you just developing new habits, replacing them from the old habits, right? This is not about you finding a better set of morals for you to live your life by, because that will make things better in this world and this life. In fact, what Paul says is you are now a new creation. You're a new creation created by God. You are fresh. That's what that word new means. This is like, right, this is brand new. This is out of the box. This is something that's never really been seen before. And part of this idea of being a new creation is that as a new creation, your new life is qualitatively better than your old life. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what that phrase, new creation, really means. Not only do you have a new life, it's actually better than your old life. At its core, new creation means living a new life because you're a brand new person. You're not the person you were. You're a new creation. Paul is simply echoing what Jesus had said to someone else in John chapter 3, verse 3. We're going to just read this verse, but I'm going to unpack a little bit more later in the teaching. But what Jesus said when he's talking to a guy, he says, listen, no, in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. You can't enter the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God cannot enter you unless you're born again. And so what Jesus is saying is that coming to faith in Christ is like being born all over again. Life is new. Life is different. You're now seeing things with new eyes and a new mind and a new perspective, and everything has changed. It's just like being born again. And Jesus is simply echoing a prophet from the Old Testament by the name of Ezekiel. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, here's what God spoke through the prophet Ezekiel. He said, this is God speaking, by the way. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. And so what God was saying in the Old Testament is there's going to come a day when people put their faith in me, and I am the one who gives them a new heart. And I'm the one who puts a new spirit in them. In fact, it's God who does all the work. He's the one who removes that. Do you understand you have a heart of stone in you outside of Christ? It's not alive. You have a heart of stone, and God actually has to remove that, and he has to give you a new heart, a heart of flesh. And not only that, he puts a new spirit in you, which is his Holy Spirit. And when that happens, that changes absolutely everything. Right, we are not talking about better discipline, new life hacks, right? Just better morals. We're talking about an entirely new way of living. This isn't a better version of your old life. This is an entirely new way of living. And it's marked by a couple of things. It's marked by things like enjoying the gift of forgiveness from God because of someone else's work. I actually get to enjoy living forgiven because of what Jesus has done. And that brings peace. That ushers in peace into your life. Man, isn't that something that people seek, right? They chase after with everything inside of them, is just peace. And the fact is God gives it to you as a gift when you put your faith in Jesus. It's a new life marked by the Spirit of God living inside of you. Think about that. The Holy Spirit, God's own Spirit, a member of the Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. God is living in you. Do you think God lives inside of you just so you can, like, I don't know, pay your taxes on time a little earlier? Like, is that the height of what being a Christian is? No. This is about living an entirely new way of life. You should pay your taxes on time. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. I'm IRS, I just know I said that, okay? But this is God living inside of you. We're talking about the deepest sense of purpose and fulfillment you will ever discover. There is not anything else in this world that will bring you the sense of fulfillment and purpose that walking with Christ is. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what relationship you're in. I don't care what experience you can have in this world. Nothing matches the purpose and the fulfillment of knowing that you're walking in a healthy relationship with God. This is a new identity that leads to new ways of thinking. It leads to new values. It leads to new ways of living, new ways of talking, new ways of interacting with people, new priorities, right? All of this stuff becomes true when we're walking with Christ. We are taught this new creation. This is profound and radical life change. You have to understand that. This is not a tweak. This is a profound and radical life change that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you begin a new life, and it is way, way better than your old life. So we get that new life. So the question is that comes to me is like, well, what's wrong with our old lives, right? Like, what was so bad about my old life that I need a new life? Because Paul says we get new lives, we need new lives. Why do I need that? Well, I'm going to tell you why we need new lives and what's wrong with our old lives. If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, you'll see the way that the Bible describes our old lives. Here's what it says. As for you, and this is for people who are living outside of Christ. This was my life before I met Jesus, right? This is what it says. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Let me unpack what's being said here. Your old life without Christ was marked by death and sin. That's your life without Christ. It's marked by sin. It's overwhelmed by death. And your old life, you were never really free. What we think is freedom, like, oh, I'm doing whatever everyone else is doing, right? Like that's freedom. I'm doing whatever I want to do as long as enough other people are doing it, so I don't feel like a total outcast in the process of that, right? And so you're really never free. You're simply following the ways of the world. You're simply following the culture. And you know who's driving the ways of the world? Paul tells us who's driving the ways of the world right here. It's actually Satan. You're not actually following freedom. You're actually following the author of rebellion, the author of sin, the leader of death, right? That's what's going on here. Your life without Christ, the focus is on gratifying your cravings. Paul says we're just following after our desires. We're doing what we can to fulfill our lusts. You know what he's describing? He's not really describing people. It's more of this animalistic way of living. I'm just fulfilling whatever whim, whatever desire, whatever thing crosses my fancy, and I'll go after it, and I'll get it and do what I have to. And then probably the most sobering thing is in verse 3, he says, your old life was under condemnation, and you're simply awaiting execution. Eternal death, right? Eternal separation from God. That is how the Bible describes our old lives or life without Jesus. And so you have to understand the reason we need new lives is because our old lives are dead. That old way of living, that is worn out, that is antiquated. That is a pitch in the dirt, man. It is a waste of time. There is no value in that kind of living. That's what Scripture says. And here's, when you add on top of this, when you're living outside of Christ, because some of you are going, well, I guess I feel okay. Like, I'm alive. I'm not really dead. When you're outside of Christ, you can be physically alive while you're spiritually dead. Did you know that? You can be moving and living and breathing and acting and doing whatever. You can be physically alive, but you're spiritually dead. And here's the really scary thing, is that actually if you die physically while you're dead spiritually, you enter into what the Bible refers to as eternal death, which is final, ultimate separation from God that there is no recovery from. You cannot pull back from that moment. That is life ultimately lost and completely ruined. That is the direction where our lives without Christ go. And if we're honest, right? Like for those of us who are living without Jesus, and for those of us who remember what our lives were like without Jesus, there are moments when we feel that lostness. There are moments when we sense that deep within ourselves, when you can't distract away the gnawing enough, right? With filling up your calendar and pursuing this next goal or experiencing this next pleasure or whatever it might be, right? When you have this moment to stop and to pause and to reflect, you know what usually happens? It usually happens when all of a sudden you wake up on your own at about 2:30 in the morning and there's nothing there to distract you and you're alone with your thoughts. And all of a sudden you go, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing? And there's this soberness that comes in and you're just like, you feel the lostness, you feel the empty. Some people refer to, I just feel empty inside. Others will use language like, well, I've lost my passion for insert whatever. And so I'm looking for my next passion. Others will say I'm looking for that next thing that's going to fill me. But you have to understand there is nothing in this world that will actually meet your truest need. They're all temporary distractions until they wear out and you have to go find the next one, right? We have some friends who live out in the country, like in the country. And in fact, the first couple times we went to their house, we had to have GPS to get there, right? Because we're like, it's like Bob's Road, right? Like that's the name of that thing. And so we plug in the address and we're just hum along and we're driving and, you know, just chit chat and listen to music, doing whatever, and taking a left, taking a right, go straight, whatever, you know, recalculating. And then we arrive to where the GPS tells us to arrive. And when we see the driveway, we're like, oh, good, there it is. And there's this big sign, like, right, just on plywood. And there's a message written on there that says, this is not the address you're looking for. You need to punch this into your GPS and that will take you to where you want to go. So apparently this guy had enough people show up to his house who were actually trying to get to our friend's house. And he's like, I'm tired of answering the door. All right, here's where you want to go, right? So we had followed the GPS and it took us to the wrong place. Here's where I'm going with this. Your heart without Christ is a GPS that takes you to the wrong destination. That's why you need a new life, because you need a new heart, because you need God's Spirit living inside of you. You need Him to bring you back to life. We need new life and we absolutely have to have it. So the question is, okay, well then how do I get it? How do I get new life? Well, let's look back at our passage again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And let's do this. Let's read it together one more time. Are you ready? Starting with therefore. Go. Therefore, if anyone is the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. How do you get it? There's only one way to get new life. The only way you get your old life to go away and the new life to come is you have to be in Christ, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, well, what does that mean? Like, do I have to find Jesus and like put him on like a suit and climb in or something along? Like, what does it mean to be in Christ? What does that mean? Now, you remember I mentioned John chapter 3 earlier where Jesus said you've got to be born again to enter the kingdom of God and for the kingdom of God to enter you. Well, Jesus was actually talking to a religious teacher, right? This guy was a Bible scholar. And he knew all the ins and outs of the Old Testament. He knew he had it memorized, and he knew all the different interpretations and all of the understandings. And Jesus said, if you're going to get into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God is going to get into you, you've got to be born again, Nicodemus. Right? That was his name, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus struggled to understand this concept. He's going, you have to be born again? I don't know. Where's that in the Old Testament? I don't understand. What are you even talking about, Jesus? And then he says this, right? Nicodemus goes, so what are you saying? Are you saying that I have to go back into my mother's womb and then be born again if I'm going to enter the kingdom of God? And in my mind, I'm going, Jesus is like, ew, no. What are you, stop being a weirdo, right? You're like a Bible scholar. What are you talking about, right? You have to understand, think about this. Here is a Bible scholar, a religious leader, a guy who knew all the rules, right? All the morals, all the behaviors, all the things that you had to do to be a good person in their culture, and he could not understand truth from Jesus. That is not too dissimilar from religious people today. Because what's happening is you're trying to put the truth of Jesus inside your religious box. And what you don't understand is Jesus came to pull the pin and drop a grenade in your religious box and blow that thing to smithereens. There's no room for religion in the new life with Christ. There's no room, right? In Christ. This is important. You have to catch this. If you're a Bible reader, if you're interested in knowing how to walk with God, this is very, very important if you don't understand. This idea of in Christ, it literally means, and you need to know, because like Paul uses this phrase 164 times in the New Testament. That's just Paul. And so this idea of in Christ, what it means is, because when you're reading the Bible, you're going to see this phrase again and again and again. And if you don't understand what it means, you're not going to be able to track with what God is trying to say to you. And so in Christ means to. Now, you have to understand. Okay, all right. In Christ. It's going to be a little underwhelming. You know, you built up to this moment. Okay. In Christ means to belong to Christ. That's what it means. To be in Christ means that you belong to him. You live in the sphere of Christ's power. You're united with Christ. You belong. You belong to Christ. You know why you belong to Christ? Because he bought you. You belong to Christ because he bought you. You see, what you might not understand is that you and I incurred a debt because of our lives without Jesus, right? Because of our own lives, our sinful lives, our self-directed living, chasing after our desires, right? All those things. We have incurred a debt because of our old life, and the only payment is death. This is what Scripture says, and I don't have time to go into all the things behind that. I'm just going to ask you to trust me this morning that that's true. We've incurred a debt, and the only payment is death. And so that means you and I have two choices. The first choice is you pay for your own debt. And the way you pay your own debt is through your death. There's a problem with that. We've already talked about that. If you die physically, while you're dead spiritually, you enter into what the Bible refers to as eternal death. Complete and total separation from God. And there's no way back from that. That is final. So your one choice is to pay your own debt. The other choice is someone else pays my debt for me. And that's what Jesus did. That's exactly what Jesus did when he lived his perfect life in this world, when he died a perfect death on the cross that we just talked about during communion, and we remembered and we celebrated, and his resurrection from the dead. He paid your debt. If you put your faith in Jesus, let me put it this way. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says it this way, that if you're in Christ, you are not your own. You were bought. You were bought at a price. What's the price? The life of the Son of God. Right? And this is, Jesus said this himself. He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then the Amplified explains what that means. Paying the price to set them free from the penalty of sin. Jesus came to pay your debt that you incurred in your place. Now, when you and I put our faith in Jesus Christ as our forgiver and our leader, when we say yes to Jesus, that's the language we use around here, what you're doing is you are agreeing to the terms that Jesus will assume all of your debt. That's what you're agreeing to, that Jesus will assume all of your debt from the past, all of your debt that you presently have, and all of your debt for the future as his own, and he will pay it in full. Those are the agreement. That's the agreement. And now you belong to Christ because he bought you. That's what that means. Now, that's a little scary, isn't it? To have someone else own you? To have somebody else buy you, purchase you? We have laws against that in this country, right? You're not allowed to do that. But that's the way this works in the kingdom. And so it sounds scary to be bought by Jesus. But what happens when you're bought by Jesus? You get a new life. That's what you get. The old is gone. And the new shows up. The new life is here. That's what this is about. That's what this is about, right? That when we put our faith in Christ, when we belong to him, now we've been bought and we're given a new life. Now we have that life that's marked by purpose and fulfillment. We have peace with God. The Spirit of God is living inside of us. All of this and more is true. Now, there's one last thing I want you to notice about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I forgot to mention it all message long, but let's look at that verse one more time. And it says this. Actually, let's read it one last time together. Are you ready? Go. Therefore, if is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. The question is this, who is this for? Anyone. This is for anyone, anyone who would put their faith in Jesus, anyone who would say yes to him by faith. If you can hear the sound of my voice right now, you are an anyone. It's for you, right? Listen, new life is for anybody who will put their faith in Jesus. New life is for the poor. New life is for the wealthy. New life is for the educated. New life is for the ignorant. New life is for every race, every tribe, every language, every color. It does not matter. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. And for some of you, like you have understood what we have talked about and what the scriptures have been saying this morning, and you're recognizing, you're going, okay, this all seems right. How do I know when God is working in my life? How do I know when God is inviting me to trust him, to put my faith in him? How do I know when the Holy Spirit is working in my life to this degree and to this point? I'll tell you how you begin to know that the Holy Spirit is drawing you to God. It starts out with this sense that something's not right in your life. There's something wrong. There's something you're missing. And you may use the term, well, I just feel empty. I've lost my passion. I'm looking for my next new thing, right? But it's stuff like that. You sense that something is not right, and you have this recognition that there's something more that's out there. And then what begins to happen after that, you sense this hunger and this desire to know truth, and you actually begin to distinguish between that which is true and everything else that's to the side. And you actually start leaning towards truth. You start moving in the direction of what's true. And you actually begin to resist everything else. You start to see it for the smoke that it is. And over time, what begins to happen, sometimes it's very short, sometimes it takes a very long time, but there's this miracle that happens. And what the miracle is this. One day, your eyes are just simply opened to the reality of Christ. I don't know any other way to describe it than that. There's just a day where you see Jesus with clarity in a way that you'd never seen him before. Maybe before you saw him as a great teacher, a very helpful man, a good guy, people who his followers just got really overly excited about. But on this day, your eyes are opened and you see Jesus in all of his fullness and you go, he is God. He really is. He really did die in my place for my debt that I incurred. He really is alive today. He really is leader. He really is forgiver. He is everything he said that he was and more. Your eyes get open to this reality. But the Spirit's not done because there's one more step. You have to make a decision to trust him. You have to make a decision to follow him. You have to make a decision to put all of your weight, all of your hopes, all of your future, all of your emptiness, all of your lost passion, all of your desire for the next thing, all of your cravings, all of that, you put them all on Christ. And then you walk with him. That's the beginning of new life. When the old is gone, and the new has come. That's what it looks like. There's one thing that our world has right. We need a new identity. Every single one of us needs a new identity. But you will never find it in here. The only way you find your truest identity is by looking to Christ and finding yourself in Christ. Your new identity is only in Christ forever, and it never changes. And if you want him, come and get him. The invitation is to anyone. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And ask the question we ask each weekend. It's just a simple question. It's Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message and through these scriptures right now? What are you speaking to me right now? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him. I want to share just one more thing with you, but I want you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want this to be a moment between you and the Lord. But I want to speak to just a few people in the room because I have a sense that right now there are some people you are experiencing the drawing of the Holy Spirit in your life even now. And as I describe that, you're going, I'm there. I get it. I understand exactly what you're talking about in this moment. And here's the thing, it does not matter if your background is just completely like unchurched, you don't know anything about Jesus. That was my background, right? It doesn't matter if your background is you grew up in the church, you knew all the rules, you got all the Bible verses memorized, your theology about religion is airtight. It doesn't matter what your background is. If you have not come to the place where you have put your weight, all of your hope, all of your trust, your whole life on Christ, if the Spirit has not opened your eyes to the reality of who Jesus is and that salvation is found in Him alone, you need Jesus. I don't care what religious works you've done in the past, those will not save you. It is impossible to please God without faith. That's what the scriptures say. And so at Lighthouse, I am not big on drawing moments out like this. Either the Spirit of God is speaking to you or He's not. But I want to give you an opportunity to act and to move, because there's something about movement when God is working in our lives. And so if you're here this morning and you're going, man, I sense the Holy Spirit drawing me to Himself. He has opened my eyes and I'm ready to respond and say yes to Jesus by faith and let Him be my leader and my forgiver. I see Him for who He is, maybe for the first time, maybe again. Here's what I ask you to do. This is just a moment between me and you and the Lord, and that's it. And the only reason I'm involved is I want to be able to pray for you by your face, because I might not know your name, but I want to be able to pray for you by memory of your face. And so if you're a person who's going, yes, I'm wanting to say yes to Jesus as my forgiver and leader. I want that new life. I want to belong to Christ. I want Him to buy me, to pay off my debt for me and live for Him the rest of my life. I'm going to count to three. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand nice and high so that I can see it. So if you're ready to say yes, on the count of three, just put your hand up. One, two, three. If you're saying yes to Jesus, put your hand up. Let me be able to see your hand. Yeah, I see you down here in the front. Yep, that's great. Anyone else? Anyone else? Put your hand. Yep, I see you in the back, in the right, sir. Yep, very good. Anyone else? Yep, I see you back there, ma'am. Amen, amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Put your hand up nice and high so I can see you. Awesome. Yes, I see you, sir, right here. Yep, awesome. All right, you can put your hands down. God, we want to praise You that You are doing work in people's lives, that today is not about religion. Today is not about how we look in front of our friends and in front of our family. Today is about how we look in front of You, because You see us as we are. And You invite us to Yourself as we are. And then You, as an act of grace, an act of faith, give us new lives. Not because work we do, because work that You've already accomplished through Jesus. Will You teach us how to say yes to Jesus by faith again and again and again and again? We can walk in that, we pray. We worship You. We love You. We ask all these things in the great name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Hey, this morning, can we celebrate that there are four people who are saying yes to Jesus? Whatever their background is, they don't care. It's like, I want God. And they got Him today. And I'm so excited for you. Here's what's going to happen. The band's going to come up. They're going to play just one more song. This is just a time to worship the Lord and to celebrate Him and His greatness. And so while that's happening, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be in the four corners of the room. We'll have one up here by the cross. Oh, John's already there. Perfect. We'll have one over here by the sign, one back by the sound booth, and we'll have one guarding the double door so nobody can leave without prayer. This is a time just to let the body of Christ serve one another through faith. And so during this song, at any point, what you can do is you can actually step out of your seat and head to one of the corners and share your prayer request with that person who is trained and ready to pray with you about absolutely anything at all. And you don't have to be a member of Lighthouse Community to receive prayer. And you don't ever have to feel embarrassed to want to receive prayer, because we all need prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. We all need prayer. And this is an opportunity for us to pray for one another. And so I'm going to ask everybody here in the house, let's stand together as we enter a new time of worship. And we just ask during this time, just nobody leaves the room. And you got an emergency, we get that. But this is a moment just to really dial in on the Lord and to worship Him. And as people are praying. So if you want to pray, I want to invite you to come forward. I'm going to pray for you. And then you can come as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.